Therefore, today, I'm announcing the House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry. I'm directing our six committees to proceed with their investigations under that umbrella of impeachment inquiry.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Human rights are women's rights, and women's rights are human rights, once and for all.
By the way, you'll never have another president like me.
He can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
Good day, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Explaining America, a show where we try to, well, explain America. A new season, a new episode. So let's dive in. The impeachment. As you may know, the House of Representatives, under Speaker Nancy Pelosi, has started an impeachment inquiry into the President of the United States. So first, let's begin with, what is an impeachment? An impeachment is a constitutional process where the House of Representatives brings charges against the President. It is similar to an indictment. After the House of Representatives, it will go to the U.S. Senate, who then tries the case with a Chief Justice of the Supreme Court overseeing the trial. A two-thirds majority of the Senate is required to convict and remove the President from office, which will mean that 67 senators would need to agree to remove Donald Trump. So why is Donald Trump being impeached? You might say, well, gee, that must be quite a list. And yes, there are many impeachable offenses. There's a whole list. But the Ukrainian phone call sealed the deal for Speaker Pelosi.
Last Tuesday, we observed the anniversary of the adoption of the Constitution on September 17th. Sadly, on that day, the Intelligence Community Inspector General formally notified the Congress that the administration was forbidding him from turning over a whistleblower complaint on Constitution Day. This is a violation of law. Shortly thereafter, press reports began to break of a phone call by the President of the United States calling upon a foreign power to intervene in his election. This is a breach of his constitutional responsibilities.
It began after a whistleblower alleged that President Trump and other top government officials had pressured the leaders of foreign nations, most notably the Ukraine, to investigate Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden, abusing the power of the presidency to advance Trump's personal and political interests. Then this was followed by obstruction of justice, also an impeachable offense, by trying to cover up the phone call and the abuse of power. So there's that. Now, every day there is coming more damning details about the call and the obstruction of justice that followed. Trump's surrogates who have lied on their oath or simply refused to comply with a subpoena, and so on. So the impeachment inquiry is now coming into a new phase. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi moves the Democrats' impeachment inquiry into the public. And soon, the American public will get a close look at the witnesses and evidences being assembled to build the case against President Donald Trump. This was all done amid Republican complaints that the investigation is illegitimate. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy demanded a vote because it was not transparent. So it was not that Nancy Pelosi felt the need to do this, but in a way she called the bluff, and Pelosi announced that the full House would vote on the next steps for the existing inquiry being run by the three committees. This will mean that the C-SPAN numbers will go through the roof because it will be all out in the open. And considering the damning testimonies that already have been heard behind closed doors and has been reported on, it is highly likely that Trump will be impeached in the House of Representatives. But then it will go to the US Senate, where Leader Mitch McConnell lets, well, everything die, and it will go to a Senate that is held by Republican in the majority. Currently, Republicans hold 53 seats out of 100. The Democrats hold 45 seats, and two independents have a seat. This will mean that the Democrats will have to convince 22 other senators to vote with them on the impeachment if they want to remove President Trump. Well, how likely is this? On one hand, not very likely. Because the Republicans are bending over backwards at this point to defend the president. For example, this is what Lindsey Graham said last week.
To impeach any president over a phone call like this would be insane.
However, in the late 90s, when it was about President Bill Clinton, Senator Graham said the following.
You don't even have to be convicted of a crime to lose your job in this constitutional republic. If this body determines that your conduct as a public official is clearly out of bounds in your role, impeachment is about cleansing the office.
It is not hard to figure that it is the Republican stand that morality and consequences only apply when it's about the Democrats, and not when it's about one of their own. On the other hand, however, it is very important to know that this impeachment is very sensitive to public support. The latest polling on impeachment was done by CNN, of course, fake news media, but it showed that 51% of American voters want Donald Trump to be impeached and removed from office. And this is alarmingly for President Trump. Because if we compare this 51% of voters who want him removed, to the Nixon impeachment inquiry and the Clinton impeachment inquiry, it is a staggering number. When the Nixon impeachment started support for his impeachment was 38% when it started. When impeachment started for Clinton, support for his impeachment was at 29%. But when Trump started, the support for impeachment was already at 44%, a number that, according to the latest polls, is now at 51%. And to put that a little bit into perspective, at the height of Nixon's impeachment, just before he announced that he was resigning from office, support of the impeachment was 58%. So he has 7% to go up in that perspective. But keep in mind, a majority of the public did not support impeaching Nixon until a few weeks before he resigned. But Trump has already more than half of the country in support of his impeachment and removal, according to this latest poll. And this is absolutely a huge factor in how this will play out, this public polling. It matters for Republicans in office because many of them are up for re-election, and many senators are in Congress to politically outlive a president, multiple presidents. Some are there for decades. And with public support growing, and more likely to grow more as the impeachment inquiry goes forward, Republican senators will feel the heat and might actually vote to remove the president in order to save their own careers. So, why is this impeachment different? Because we had the Mueller investigation, we have multiple offensive acts where people were like, okay, this is enough. But still, nothing really came of that. So why is this impeachment different than the Mueller investigation? I'll give you the answer in one name. Nancy Pelosi. Speaker Nancy Pelosi has a long career in politics. This is not her first rodeo. She has been in the intelligence community for over 25 years, and she knows how to play the political game. She has been two steps ahead in a sign situation and is always prepared. There hasn't been a meeting, a vote, a plan that had Nancy Pelosi's involvement that had not been carefully examined and prepared personally by her. She knows the US Constitution. So for Donald Trump, who, well, let's face it, is not an expert on the Constitution, to go toe-to-toe on her, on the US Constitution with Nancy Pelosi, well, that is not a smart move for Donald Trump. Nancy Pelosi knew that the American people needed something simple, something to grasp, a smoking gun, as it were, to present to the American people as undeniable proof, and where there will be no doubt if it were or was not impeachable. Trump has given Pelosi exactly that, with his quid pro quo and the cover-up that followed. We'll be right back. Welcome back, and we're gonna move on from the impeachment. And we'll go to the 2020 election. Yes, it is still happening. 22 people are running at this moment. 18 Democrats and 4 Republicans. Yes, 4 Republicans. Mark Sanford, a former congressman, Joe Walsh, also a former congressman, and William Felt, a former governor of Massachusetts, and of course Donald Trump. Now, it is very likely that Donald Trump will get the Republican nomination. Republicans are doing everything in their power. There's even question of skipping the primaries altogether and nominating Trump automatically, so that the other 3 Republicans you probably won't hear much about. The Democrats, on the other hand, still have 18 candidates running. We are a year out. November 3rd will be a year exactly until the 2020 election night. And the frontrunners for the Democratic Party are Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, and Bernie Sanders. However, this all before the first caucus, where Democratic voters get an opportunity to make their voices heard. So actually a lot can happen in the meantime. And that brings me to the following. Age. Donald Trump is now 73 years old. And if he's elected for 4 more years, he will be 78 when he leaves office. The frontrunners for the Democrats are also fairly advanced in their age. Elizabeth Warren is 70, Joe Biden is 76, and Bernie Sanders is 78. Which would mean that if Bernie Sanders would win, he would turn 80 during his first term in office. So this has come with some consequences. For example, normally a vice presidential candidate possibility or speculation is not that exciting. Not for pundits, not for voters, not for Americans, not for anyone. Because we assume that the president will remain in office until there is a new election. But with the candidates such as Bernie Sanders, who recently came back to the campaign trail after suffering a heart attack, it is not strange to look at who would be the vice president. Some argue that candidates such as Cory Booker, Andrew Yang, or Beto O'Rourke are actually running to become the number 2. It makes sense, because at the end of the day, the Democrats will have to make alliances and smooth over problems, such as the issue of age with their voters. So running a shadow campaign, although not that shadowy, for vice president makes sense. So, some important 2020 election data are coming up. On November 20th, the 5th Already the fifth Democratic debate is planned. It will be hosted by MSNBC and moderated by a women's panel only, which candidates will be questions on hopefully more than just the standard stuff we've heard. Reproductive health comes to mind. Which candidates are eligible to participate in this debate is not yet announced. And looking far, far in the future, as far at least as February of 2020, the Iowa caucuses will be held on the 3rd of February for both the Democrats and the Republicans, because then we're going into the actual election year. But before this episode ends, I want to mention some Hollywood historic first, and that of no other than Jane Fonda. Jane Fonda was arrested at the Capitol for the third time last Friday, and I assume she will be arrested for the fourth time this Friday. She's there every Friday now, because she's there for the Friday Fire Drill Fridays, a weekly protest where concerned citizens descend onto Capitol Hill to protest inaction over the climate crisis. But while she was arrested, she accepted an award, making her the first person to do so.
Blast off, thank you! Thank you for the Stanley Kubrick Britannia Award for Excellence in Films. Thank you. I'm sorry I'm not there. I'm very honored.
That was it for this episode. This was Explaining America. Till next time.